This is American Viewpoints with Mike Ferguson. Here's something to think about.
Just over the past week, U.S. Supreme Court hearing a case about the Biden administration putting pressure on social media, frankly, to censor possibly what you tried to say on their platforms. Is that constitutional? The Biden administration says, well, yeah. Now we've got a Supreme Court justice saying, you know, I'm really kind of worried about that Constitution getting in the way of government. So how do we sort all of this out to have the right understanding of constitutional freedoms and limits on government? I know, big questions, but that's how we're starting out today. I'm Mike Ferguson. Thank you for making American Viewpoints part of your weekend. We've now joined by Andrew Langer. He is with the Center for Regulatory Freedom at the CPAC Foundation. And Andrew, I think it's been a while since you've been on the program. Appreciate you being on the show. So let's first review the arguments that were made, and we're probably not going to know until June what the Supreme Court rules on this, but this is the case out of Missouri where the attorneys general of Missouri and Louisiana led the case saying, hey, the Biden administration is going to the social media platforms, going to big tech, telling them what they want censored or suppressed and what they don't want. Isn't that censorship and a violation of the First Amendment? And you would think that the answer is pretty cut and dry clear, but it's turning out to be a little more complicated than that.
Well, it is. And the issue fundamentally is this situation, is the situation over you know, the coercive power of government and the ability of government to essentially do an end run around the Constitution. And this has its roots probably earlier, but the most recent, you know, notable memory of this is during the Obama administration, when the Obama administration knew they couldn't go after gun and ammunition manufacturers and dealers and short-term high-risk lenders, you know, the so-called payday lenders, and even adult entertainers, if you can believe it. There were folks in the Obama administration who didn't like the adult entertainment industry. And knowing that there are certain constitutional protections, the Second Amendment, the First Amendment, that they couldn't attack them directly. So instead what they did was they put pressure on banks and credit card payment processors to shut down the accounts of these entities with which they had an ideological animus, something called Operation Choke Point. And once it was discovered that they were doing this and they were called on it, well, they shut it down. Congress held hearings and wrote a report on it. But now here we are, you know, a scant 6-7 years later, and you had the Biden administration essentially engaging in the same tactic. And legal experts call this jawboning, the idea that you're not attacking it directly, but you're essentially saying to a regulated entity, you know, it's a nice business you got here. We'd hate to see it messed up if you did the wrong thing. We can't tell you what to do. We can't tell you to take down these posts. But we think it's in your best interest, and you should think it's in your best interest to take it down. So that's the question, whether or not that kind of pressure is a violation of the Constitution. And I'm sorry for engaging in jawboning of my own here. But, you know, the issue really is the line that should be drawn. And I think that's where the decision is going to come down to in June, right? We recognize that government has the power and should have the power to talk to social media platforms when folks are breaking the law, right? When there are terrorists talking, or when folks are exchanging pornographic images that are illegal, the government should have the power to do that. But the question is, how far can that power go?
If the government is involved in those conversations, is that by default coercion because of the power of the government and what you just described with the it'd be a shame if something happened to it example? Or like the government, Biden administration officials were saying, is that just we have a right to be a part of the conversation and influence it just like everybody else?
Well, no. I mean, I think in any instance in which the government is encouraging a social media platform or raising concerns about certain posts on a social media platform, where there is legitimate public debate going on, especially, and sorry, I don't want to create a slippery slope argument here, but you know, when the government is trying to pick winners and losers in terms of opinion, that's a problem. And I think that is it. You know, again, we sort of go down this road. You know, to me, the test is a very, very simple one. That which would not be permitted directly because of the Constitution's constraints on government power should not be permitted indirectly simply because it's either informal or otherwise, not direct, right? That's the way it should be. It's a very simple sort of geometric equivalency that should be at work.
So you're basically talking about the government outsourcing its regulation or suppression as opposed to doing it themselves.
You know, it's interesting you bring that up because not a separate issue. It's a related issue. Liz Truss, the former prime minister of Great Britain, was at CPAC, and she used a term called quango, a quasi-NGO. It's a term that I'd never heard before. And it's exactly what you're talking about here, which is the outsourcing of the sort of governmental power to outside NGOs that have a very direct and frankly somewhat incestuous relationship with the government in terms of their funding and in terms of their power. But yeah, that's what we're talking about here. If the government can't do it directly, right, the government can't engage in assassination. And by the same token, they can't go out and encourage other entities to engage in assassination. It's along those same lines. But let's flip it around. If the government has the power, the police power to do X, Y, and Z, go and interview witnesses about a crime that is being committed or may be being committed and has to go through the steps, also of getting court orders and things like that. Those are powers that should extend in terms of their conversations, their interactions with social media platforms.
We are visiting with Andrew Langer from the Center for Regulatory Freedom at the CPAC Foundation, and we'll give out the contact information for that here in a minute or so. Andrew, could Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson be obviously becoming famous or infamous this week for literally questioning the attorneys general, saying, "I'm concerned that the First Amendment might hamstring the government at a time, essentially, when there's a crisis." And to me, she's missing the entire point of the Bill of Rights and the Constitution in the first place, but she's not alone in her line of thinking on that. No. A lot of people are saying, well, yeah, we want our individual liberties and rights, but at some point there's a crisis and government just needs the ability to be.
Let me tell you something. I am guided in my work. In 1992, I was the reader. My very first job in D.C., I was the reader for a blind environmental and constitutional attorney. And I read, I read everything that came across his desk to him. And in 1992, or I'm sorry, not in 1992, in the mid-90s, I read a case from 1992 that blew my mind. It was New York versus United States. And Justice O'Connor summed it up best when she said, "The Constitution protects us from our own best intentions. It divides power among sovereigns and among branches of government precisely so that we might resist the temptation to concentrate power in one branch as the expedient solution to the crisis of the day." That is a principle, a quote that has guided me in every aspect of my work. The Constitution is a deliberative document, and it exists precisely so that we don't do what Justice Brown Jackson was talking about on Monday.
Hey, Andrew, I've just got a minute or so left here. A big question people will say is, well, okay, why does this matter to me? It's one thing to have it in concept or philosophically, but why does this case matter to me individually?
It matters to anybody because they can be caught in the sights of government. We have a government that is now so vast, so large, between a million and 1.5 million separate regulatory mandates that are out there, that all government needs to do is figure out. It's what Lavrenti Beria, the founder of the modern Soviet secret police, said: "Show me the man, and I'll show you the crime." Anybody can become a victim. Lord knows, and I didn't even get into this. I've had social media posts taken down because somebody was putting their thumb on the scale there. It can happen to anybody.
All right. And how do we learn more about the Center for Regulatory Freedom?
Check us out, cpac.org. Just click on the button there that says the Center for Regulatory Freedom. We're working on all kinds of stuff. We want to get folks involved in the regulatory process.
All right. Andrew Langer, really appreciate you being on the program, because this is one of those, I know I like or don't like it, but I'm not sure why. And hopefully this gave a lot of people something to think about. So really appreciate you being on the program.
I hope so as well. Take care.
Yeah, like Andrew was saying, and so many other critics have pointed out to the Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, the whole point of the Constitution is to limit the government. What do you think? Let me know. You can find us on Facebook, American Viewpoints, or just find me on Twitter or X. I am at AVP Radio Show. More American Viewpoints coming your way just ahead in about 2.5 minutes.